Welcome to the Maria Heller Show. On the net since 2000 and still going strong. If you feel like you're not getting the real news, if you feel like you're not connected spiritually, you have found your home. Maria covers a wide range of topics as only a snarky New Yorker can. Straight up, no chaser. No censorship, no corporate sponsors, thus true freedom of speech. Your subscription gives you unlimited access as a member of the smartest audience on earth. Relax and enjoy the education. Now here's Maria.
Good morning, world. Maria here, alive and kicking. Welcome to Hell and High Water with myself and my guest, my co-host, my friend, another great broadcaster, Chuck Ocelli. Get over to ocelli.com and support his work. There are very few of us left. I know I'm getting rave reviews on all the shows I've had last week, especially with Jack, and a lot of you heard the interview that Chuck was kind enough to send me that I did on his show last week. So today it's our show. So good morning, Chuck.
Oh, good morning, Mom. Yeah, I also want to add my praise to the Jack Blood Hour that you had there. That is blood and guts classic style. And gotta say, I enjoyed it myself. And, you know, I don't always listen to every show of yours all the way through or anything. But that one I did, just so you know. So if anybody is hearing us and missed that, go get it out of the archive at maria.net. It is a gem.
I hope people don't realize that it was Jack that got me involved in radio. So Jack and I have been working together for 23 years. You know, it's always a thrill to have him on the show. Actually, he wants to come back, so hopefully next month I'll have him back on the show. Chuck, there's so much craziness going on in the world. I did have a drop of good news I thought I'd start the show with.
We need some goodness to open things up. Let's do that because you know we got a lot of, we talked briefly before we started, and we got a lot of ugliness we might cover. So by all means, please, good news.
I think about Seth Meyers. He has a segment that's called A Good Story That We Needed to Hear Right Now. With so much bad stuff going on, I did read this morning that an aside of the COVID-19 sequestering is there's been a drop in crime throughout the country during people being locked away. So there's something that I didn't expect. So it was good to see that. So there's today's good news. There has been a drop in crime throughout the country because people were staying home.
Well, and as we've noted, there's been a reduction in pollution because of the limitations on travel. There's been a, you know, because of loss of business, which is painful and hard, there's been a reduction in, other harmful things being introduced into the environment. There have been, and I take this as positive news, and of course, tongue planted firmly in cheek. There's probably going to be an uptick in divorces. A lot of people talk about a possible baby boom here, but I think people got a little time with their alleged significant other and discovered, because I saw a couple of stories about that recently,
right.
Discovered that maybe they're not the right significant other. And this is progress, actually. I don't look at divorce as a failure. I look at it as a successful analysis of what needs to be changed, and that's a good thing, Maria, so.
Well, the other thing is I think parents are going to develop and are developing a new appreciation for teachers. Now that they're stuck at home trying to teach their own children, I saw one mother, she said, after homeschooling my kids for 2 weeks, I suspended them. So you have a lot of parents who are starting to realize that maybe those teachers aren't getting paid enough. Then you have, I saw a tweet this morning that said it all. If people are making more money on unemployment, they're not getting paid enough at their jobs. And that's another realization. Why would I go back to work if I'm making more money on unemployment than the pitiful minimum wage that everybody doesn't want to raise?
See, that's another truth that of course you and I have already covered several times, but another interesting fact about this is I noticed that the media has pushed forward this idea, and I want to give you the flip side of it. Still, as it stands, I have a lot of people that I speak to in different parts of the country on a constant basis for different reasons, And a lot of them that I know are in the unemployment system at this point because their jobs evaporated, okay?
Right.
Less than half of the people that I know that I keep asking, have you gotten your unemployment, have actually even received it. Which is a funny thing when they're talking about, you know, already the scams. Apparently there's a Nigerian-based scam that the Secret Service is still looking into, you know, which I found ironic.
Right.
Given the old trope of the Nigerian prince who asks you to deposit money for him so that he'll give you a share of his fortune. It's interesting, a lot of unemployment benefits were allegedly stolen across the country. And yet there are many of people that are still sitting in the queue, not even having been evaluated because of the systems and all that. And I noticed the media's focus is now, oh, well, perhaps people will stay home and not go back to their jobs, even if they're offered to them. Well, if you're going to actually give them something that looks a lot more like a living wage to sit home, yeah, they might, but there's still a ton of people that are waiting resolution, still have their backed up rent, still have their backed up bills.
Mm-hmm.
And you notice the media is not focusing on those people so much anymore because it's supposed to be a done deal. In fact, they're talking about another proposal about another possible addendum or addition or another CARES Act or whatever it is they're calling it, which I'm thinking they're just putting out there floating to kind of pacify those who are becoming frustrated and angry with the fact that they still haven't received what was allegedly the stimulus that they were supposed to get in the first place when, meanwhile, like I said, the Nigerian-based scam got their money.
Right.
You know, lots of corporations got their money. I'm sure Boeing didn't have to wait for it. Wall Street didn't have to wait for anything for the printing presses to roll off what they needed.
Right.
But if you're an unemployed sucker and you're just one person or just one family somewhere, you know, you might just be sitting there waiting until, I don't know when, to
right.
collect your...
Well, then you got the other side of that, too. You know, I mean, my granddaughter had to file for unemployment because she got laid off. And it took forever online. I mean, forever. Hours and hours and hours. Then you have to set it up with your bank so they can deposit it, which also took her about 4 hours on the phone. What about poor people that don't have a bank account? What about homeless people that don't have an address if they wanted to mail a paper check? No one's talking about that. So today, just like students in, you know, rural counties that don't have computers or Wi-Fi, they're supposed to be learning at home, homeschooling, and they have no access, just like the poor have no access.
Right.
You know, back in the day, you could do that at the post office, but they took banking away from the post office, which needs to come back to the post office.
It might make them a little more solvent, too, as an organization, because apparently they're complaining about money. Another fun fact about this, though, is you're talking about 8 hours online, 12 hours online. Okay, I don't mean to belittle that, Maria, but I'm talking to people who spent weeks dialing the phone from the opening bell at the agency all the way to the closing time at the agency in different states. Who spent weeks doing that, literally thousands of calls. They get dropped when they're transferred, everything else. A lot of, let's see if we can put some frustration into the situation to get a little bit of prostration out of
right.
the public.
I agree. I agree. I know that's going on. So I had told my granddaughter, don't get online till after 11 o'clock at night. And that, and she
right.
listened to me. She got on, you know, late at night. Young people don't care. They're up all night. And she got it done. But one of her friends is still from the beginning of this. Same kids, you know, same kid, worked in the same restaurant, still trying to get his unemployment.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Oh, 6, 8, 10, 12 weeks now, some people.
Right.
Are
what are they supposed
to
do? Right. What are they? Listen, I said that at the beginning. When people run out of money and they got a family to feed, what are they going to do? Are they going to strap on a gun and go to the grocery store? I mean, you got to do what you got to do to live. But when you have billionaires and millionaires in Congress, both sides, you know, just like, who the hell was it? Ugly Mnuchin, who said that the American family can live on $1,200 for 10 weeks.
I'm sorry. I always find that funny. When these rich people make declarations about things that they have absolutely no clue. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like kind of watching Jared Kushner talking about, well, maybe there will be an election or maybe not. We haven't decided yet. I love that.
Right.
I mean, it's comedy.
How about Mick Mulvaney, who was put in place to destroy every agency that protects us, especially the Consumer Protection Agency that was destroyed. When he came
he wasn't
out,
the guy focusing on destroying the EPA, that he was focusing on the consumer thing. I get confused.
Well, I think he ran both of them until, you know, everybody's doing everything, you know.
Send it
to Jared. But he called people going back to work human capital stock. And he's getting his ass ripped apart on social media for that one. But people don't understand. It goes all the way back to Kissinger when he talked about our troops and he called them dumb animals. This is how all these elite people that are supposed to be representing us think about all of us. Doesn't matter what color we are, what sex we are, how old, young we are. Doesn't matter. To them, we're useless feeders. Remember that one? I think that was was that Kissinger too? Useless feeders?
Sounds right.
If there were any bunch of people that are useless feeders, I hate to say this, it's Congress and it's the president, it's the Supreme Court, it's these one-third of our judges now that were put in place by Mitch McConnell, all these crazy fake Christians. They're useless feeders to me. You know, the people out there, you know, threatening and creating problems for other people, those are useless feeders. But, you know, Trump calls anybody he doesn't like human scum. I mean, have you ever heard a president call anybody human scum, let alone the craziness that comes out of his mouth? This weekend he called Hillary Clinton a skank. Well, if anybody's a skank, it's the women that Trump's been with. You know, I'd call Hillary Clinton a lot of things, but not a skank. And because I grew up in New York at the same time as Trump, I know the definition of a skank. Melania is a skank, okay? Hillary Clinton's a lot of things, and none of them good, but not a skank, okay?
And that's funny because, look, to be polite about it, right, a skank is a pseudo-prostitute. To be polite, and it means that generally they're sleeping with lots of men and for gains. That's what they're doing. That's how I understand the word skank. You and I attract the same on this one, Maria?
No, actually, back in our day, if you called somebody a skank, it was because they were pretty gross in a million different ways, okay? So, you know, they were like people pretending, you know, trying to be something that they weren't when they were kind of basically low class, low intelligence, that kind of thing. You just say, oh, what a skank. I will tell you, though, I brought back the word boss from the 60s because I see my granddaughters now using the word boss to define something that looks smoking hot. So I said, wow, are you going to bring back the word boss? But we had different lingo, just like young kids today have different lingo. But if anybody is a skank and human scum, Trump needs to look in the mirror. Okay. Now let's take a look.
By your definition, absolutely true. But again, I point to the definition I know for the word skank, and it usually means also somebody who's kind of dirty as well.
Oh yeah.
At the same time, now I don't know. Hillary Clinton doesn't look dirty to me, not in the sense of a skank by my definition. But is she dirty in other ways? Sure, she was in politics. End of story.
Right. But listen. I could say a lot of things about her. She's well kept. Okay?
Yeah, right.
She presents herself well, her hair, her makeup, her clothes, etc. Okay? She's a lady and not a skank. There's a big difference. Okay? Mm-hmm. But, man, these are words I haven't heard. I want you to know since, like, junior high school, what comes out of his mouth. He dates himself every time he opens his mouth.
Well, you know, dates himself, but I'm not sure what planet that is being dated there that he's from.
Planet Trump.
Again, totally disconnected. You know, this is the interesting thing about it. Even the guys who mean well, seems like, you know, not the ones who are just there to serve their masters and their friends all the time, seem to be totally disconnected from the people they're allegedly representing. And it's funny. It's all the way up and down and on both sides of the aisle. And I don't understand why it is everybody's not looking to fire every last individual who holds an office in Washington. I can't figure that out. I'm not saying that voting will even get it done, because
well,
who trusts that process?
Right. But here's the thing. You know, Ralph Nader wrote a great piece this week. I mean, his work is outstanding. And it was basically all about why isn't anyone, either in office or in the media, demanding that Trump resign. And he went off with a list to beat the band on why he should be forced to resign. And I don't understand it myself. Why is everybody still normalizing him and saying, well, let's wait till the election, you know, maybe he'll get out, maybe he'll get in. This guy causes more damage every day he lives than anything I've ever seen. So why is it no one is demanding that he resign? He couldn't even last at a McDonald's for a day.
You know, and it's funny, I don't know if you ever heard that from me, but I said that when he was running for office. I said, I don't understand how anybody's taking him seriously. Nobody would let this guy run a local McDonald's franchise. Mm-hmm. And I've said it many times. People laugh at it and go, well, you don't want to support McDonald's. I said, yeah, but you know what? There's a business model there. There's a need to not be an immediate apparent danger to your community. Mm-hmm. You got to have people there that have some people skills if they're running the place. And this guy has none of it. He could not survive as a McDonald's manager.
No, he wouldn't even be able to find the buns unless, of course, you know, they belong to a porn star.
That's the other thing.
Okay, so I wake up this morning with the usual feeling of dread. What's going on in the news? And I see another Eric Garner case of a white cop with his knee on a black man's throat. The black man's crying. I can't breathe. He crushes the guy's windpipe, kills him. And this, of course, went viral instantly this morning. And the guy was only wanted for a forgery, which I didn't believe you're susceptible to the death penalty for a forgery charge. He was black, of course. The cop was white, of course. How many times are we going to see that? And all I could think of were the images last week or the week before when you had the rabid, armed, white male protesters protesting their right not to wear a mask, literally spitting on the line of cops in front of them, who were, you know, mostly white. The cops did no arrest. Nothing was done. Nobody said, I can't breathe. And yet this guy gets pulled over and he gets murdered again. And, you know, those people spitting at the cops, they look like rabid dogs. Trump says, yeah, they're all good people. These are my people. They look at them. They're heroes. They're patriots. When you get Colin Kaepernick, who takes a knee for this exact reason, he called him, you know, a son of a bitch. This is why they take a knee. And I'm not saying this just happens to black people, but the majority seem to be. And this is an old story, Chuck. This is nothing new from Rodney King to you name it to now.
Right. Well, that is the terrible truth about it, is that, quite frankly, this should not be shocking. This should be something that people understand goes on. I'm not saying that it's acceptable, but, I mean, this is no surprise. Now, if you think about these guys, the protesters, and you might have mixed feelings about them, you might say to yourself, especially listeners of ours might say to themselves, look, somebody asserting their rights, you might even find people among our listeners who say, and I agree, that a gun is a tool and does make for a more civil conversation in certain circumstances, just to possess it. However, If you reverse this situation and you think about the fact that if there were a group of protesters who were primarily people of color, and they were spitting on the police, I think
armed to the teeth.
Yeah, armed to the teeth. They would have been broken up, dispersed with tear gas, which is something we still do in this country, which a lot of other countries have banned. They would be dealt with. There would have been many arrests. It would have been seen as a violent protest, out of control, and everything else, because the police, for the most part, would have felt justified to engage. One wonders why that is still allowed to be.
Well, because this country was built on racism, and nothing has changed. You know, listen, I said it from the get-go with these masks. There's a big difference between a white man in a mask and a black man in a mask, and that was proven. You can go into Costco, you can go into any store you want, and if you're white, you got a mask on, nobody's going to bother you. But what about that black guy who was wearing a mask in Costco, and the next thing you know, he's arrested because he's a black guy in a mask?
Yeah, something I brought up again, at the time when they started encouraging this, which, by the way, I'm still waiting to see how this is going to shake out regarding the wear a mask everywhere thing. But, you know, reality, again, is that there were statutes against and policies in many cities, many municipalities, where, quite frankly, they had banned people wearing hoodies into stores.
Right.
They had banned anything like a bandana or a face covering all across. And generally speaking, this is in places that have a population of people of color. And the truth is that there is a practical concern, because wearing a mask up until very recently into a store would have appeared like you were trying to hide and you were probably about to rob it.
Right.
So I get it.
Right.
And this is a reality. Like, in a city where I live, there are constant armed robberies. It does occur.
Right, of course.
At the same time, now how do you square it with this new reality? You know, and we're watching how it's being squared. And like you said, no matter what you do, no matter what the lip service is, there is always a racial aspect to everything. And, you know, the younger generation, younger than me, and certainly, you know, your grandchildren's age, right? My children's age now.
Right.
Except Frankie. Frankie's a later in life baby. But my children, you know, your grandchildren, they do have a more evolved attitude. But I wonder how much this amping up of the racial animosity through the coded language, through the direct, now more blunt, obvious language that is out there in public among leaders, not the least of which is the alleged president of the alleged United States.
Mm-hmm.
But even so, local people, the other representatives, the other alleged leaders, it's still present. No matter what the new generation may have in store in a couple of decades when they really truly seize power, okay, we will still have to contend with this all the way up until then, and I am hoping that it's not subconsciously fed to them and somehow it becomes an even more deeply embedded code and continues on. I'd like to see the cycle of violence, which is generated by this idiocy of the idea that there is more than one race. I would like to see that extricated from the human condition, and especially the American condition, because we have no excuse at this point in time to continue on with this nonsense. So I feel your anxiety on this. I am just as upset, but I am also not shocked.
No, I'm not shocked either. I'm disgusted. Listen, you know, long before you were born, in a far and distant world called Brooklyn, New York, it was 1968, okay? So 1968, I'm, I don't know, 18, okay? We had a lot of race, that's when the race riots were happening throughout the country, but especially in New York. And it was happening right in front of the house my parents owned that I lived in, okay? We watched muggings. We watched people getting their heads split open. This was happening in front of our house. Somebody got mugged. My mother would send me and my sisters out to pick them up off the street, bring them in the house, patch them up, wait for an ambulance or a cop. I was there when Mayor Lindsay, John Lindsay, brought in 6,000 cops just into Brooklyn. I remember watching this huge tractor trailer open in front of our house, and the cops by the hundreds seemed to be coming out. They were on horses. They were on motorcycles. And I mean, this is what I was living through. So for me, this isn't just make-believe or something new. I lived through that and hoped that we would never have to live through it again. Well, my mother witnesses something, and the cops want her to go. Remember my Sicilian mother, Chuck? They wanted her to go to a, what the hell do you call it? A lineup, okay?
Right.
So my mother goes, and one of the cops happened to be black, and he takes my mother to this lineup, right? And they brought out about four teenage black kids, and they wanted my mother to pick any one of them, any one of them. My mother looked at the cops, and she says, I can't do that. She says, I can't honestly say that either one of these kids is the one that I saw. They pressed her, just pick any one of them. That's the way Brooklyn cops were. And my mother refused. Okay, so those four boys, which were probably all innocent, because my mother refused to just finger any black kid, which was typical in East New York, that's where I grew up. Okay, they knew if there was a crime, just pick any black kid, blame it on him. I mean, we all knew that, okay? And I hung out with the Italian gangs, so we all knew that, okay? And listen, a lot of the Italians I knew when they got arrested got beat the shit out of once they got arrested by the cops. And the cops would always say, we just fell down a flight of steps. So this is nothing new. You know, people don't realize protect and serve went out the window with Officer Joe Bolton, okay? They're trained that we are the enemy. Okay, they're there to enforce the law. Well, why don't they enforce the law with the President of the United States?
Wouldn't that be fascinating, right? I don't know if we have time, but I can tell you about a different time in New York. And one thing that'll have in common with something that happened almost 30 years earlier is that, you know, today they are dressed in body armor. They are armed with, you know, much, much higher grade weapons than they used to have. It was the nightstick and the flashlight, really, that that they used on us most of the time.
Right.
And in the 90s there, early 90s, there was an incident in Tompkins Square Park where, and I'm sure you know where Tompkins Square Park is. You know, and they had pushed the homeless population basically into the park and then dispatched an amount of police that I'd never seen before in my life. And I didn't see the tractor trailers, but I saw just an ocean of cops converge on Tompkins Square Park, and I lived right down the street. It was just wild. It just seemed to me as though they had pushed these people into a spot and just started beating them.
Right.
Straight up in public. And I know that that was probably memorialized. I know there's some videotapes out there that exist of it. If you look really hard, you may find a picture of me in there somewhere, because many of us in the neighborhood reacted and attempted to put ourselves in the way of the police because of the abuse that we were seeing. These guys are still in blue shirts, though. I know that intimately. I got hit. I got cuffed to a wrought iron fence along with a lot of other people who got cuffed to the fence. There was a melee that occurred there that night.
Right.
And quite honestly, if this sort of thing arose today, I don't think that we in the neighborhood would be able to stand up. It's a totally different neighborhood now because NYU took it over and cleaned it up. But, I mean, Alphabet City was a bit of a den of iniquity, if you know what I mean, which was right by there. And I got to say, if it wasn't for a friend of mine who happened to have a little bit of juice with the cops, I probably would have spent, you know, end up on Rikers Island just before I even got a hearing. You know, he got me out of there.
Right.
But that's a whole weird story.
Right.
And
well,
I got to say that confronting him then, though,
was,
you know,
different.
Again, in the 1990s,
right,
it's not like today. Today, you are really risking your life because they have amped up incrementally this militarization of the police all across the country,
right,
not just in New York, everywhere. And these guys with this amped up attitude now taking us as the enemy, they have been militarized, not just with their equipment, not just with the fact that we got a lot of, you know, Iraq and Afghani veterans coming in, right? But the fact is that they're given a more military mentality. We are the enemy at this point.
Right. Well, don't
it
leave out
your
right
to interact with them at all.
Don't leave out.
So,
don't leave out that a lot of them are trained by the animals in Israel. So, you know, Israel doesn't have a problem killing their own people either because they're such a great democracy. But, you know, this reminded me, and then there was, of course, another story in the news today that took me right back to the Central Park Five. When Karen, we'll call her Karen, my granddaughter taught me what that means, in Central Park with her dog, falsely accused the black man of attacking her. All he did was tell her to leash her dog, which any normal person should do. It bothers me when I see dogs off leash, even here. She was lying. And she got caught, and, you know, what did you say? She got suspended from her job?
Well, she's been placed on administrative leave. Funny thing about this story to me is that both of them are, both of the individuals that are involved in this circumstance are named Cooper. Did you know that?
No, I didn't look at the names. No.
Yeah, they're both named Cooper. They're not related, just so you know, but the fact is they're both named Cooper. I found that interesting as a piece of synchronicity here, but no, the white woman who is frantically getting on her phone because she's angry that she's being filmed, starts stating, and I've watched and listened very carefully, that her and her dog's life are being threatened by an African-American man, and the police need to come, hurry up, please, hurry. I am being threatened, I can't even talk, and just frantically. Explaining this. But meanwhile, the guy basically just asked her to put the dog on a leash and then decided to film the situation, which I'm going to tell you now, just you, the listener, if you're out there, you have interactions with the police, I hope that you have the wherewithal to film your interaction as best you can, because it might be the thing that saves your life or is the only evidence they'll have if something goes wrong.
Exactly.
Okay?
Exactly. If that wasn't the case... That case
but
in Georgia.
But she was put on administrative leave, by the way, according to her, you know, and they tweeted out her employer, which is one of these financial institutions, I forget which one, but they tweeted out that she's been put on administrative leave while they investigate it because they will not tolerate racism.
Right.
Because
meanwhile,
that's
she said,
what it is.
Meanwhile, she said that this has ruined her life. She's the only one that ruined her life. She brought this on herself.
Well, and we've seen this over and over again.
Exactly.
You know, where people are threatening because they're black.
Listen, that goes all the way back, goes all the way back in history when slaves were accused of the same thing. Innocent black men were hung because some white woman decided to say she was raped or abused by them. And, you know, now, you know, 100 years later, they find out that none of that was true. It goes right back to one of the earliest shows I ever did, Chuck. This guy sent me his book. It was like 2 inches thick. And it was called The World is a Ghetto. And I'm pretty sure the author was Howard Winant. And he goes all the way back in history. I mean, to the East India Tea Company and how the war on black races has always been going on.
Right.
And I highly recommend people watch that because, you know, you got to understand what's the fear here. You know, what starts all this madness? Chuck, we need to take a break. We'll be right back. Stay with us. Hi, this is Maria. I don't often get to talk directly to the listeners here on the Gary Noll Network, but I felt like doing that today. I know a lot of you really enjoy my show, but you might not know that I do 4 shows a week over at my website, maria.net. So if you're loving the show you get to hear on Sunday, come on over to my site and subscribe, because I've got hundreds of hours of great shows on pretty much every topic in the universe. And that again is maria.net, M-E-R-I-A.net. And now we can get back to this excellent show. Thanks. Okay, welcome back to Hell and High Water. And as you can tell, we're pretty hot today. You know, Chuck, I think it was a skit that George Carlin did a long time ago on racism. And his suggestion was that everybody have sex with everybody so we all end up the same color. Mm. And I often thought that there was a lot of genius in that. Okay. And why people have to make an issue over the color of our skin. And it doesn't matter. I've heard this not just from blacks or whites. I hear it from, you know, Native Americans too. There's a lot of prejudice on both sides. And the bottom line that I say to everybody is, if we open our vein, we all bleed red.
Yeah, that's a phrase, actually. I remember that in two versions, and I don't remember exactly how it was said, but I heard that phrase in a couple different languages. That basically what happens is, you know, we all bleed the same color. And I can't remember I wish I could remember the Italian phrase, but you know what? My father died when I was four, and it's hard to recall his exact words. But that is one of those things that he used to say, and I have held on to. You know, I think back to, you want to go for the primary example, the easily observable example. When I did a show, I did a series of shows actually on a civil rights leader named T.R.M. Howard, who is not exactly the most popular one or well-known one, let's say, in history. It doesn't come right off the top of people's tongues when Black History Month comes around. But, you know, he was involved in everything, including the Emmett Till case, which if people don't know, if you don't know about Emmett Till, I suggest you do a little reading. Young man goes to a store, he's visiting a place in the South, and long story short, he is accused of whistling at a white woman.
Right.
And then some men take him and lynch him, and brutalize him and murder him. His mangled body was returned to his mother, who actually lived in Chicago, in that area. And she made the very conscious decision to be sure that though her son's body was mangled, that it be publicly displayed at his funeral to let people understand what was done to her son.
Didn't wasn't that movie Mississippi Burning about Emmett Till?
Well, Mississippi Burning wasn't about Emmett Till. It was about the three civil rights workers that had disappeared in Mississippi. But the Emmett Till case is in that movie because they do a little intimidation thing where they hire a guy to show up and grab one of the local Klansmen and politicians and say, basically tell him the story of Emmett Till, which, again, not going into all the graphic details, but they castrated him, hung him. Mm-hmm. And I believe they might have even burned him and then thrown him into a body of water. There's a plaque memorializing the spot where his body was found today and all that. But I'm telling you, it's one of those stories that is so ugly that even in civil rights circles, it's not often
discussed. Right, but, you know, listen, what this woman did in Central Park is similar. It's the same bull crap as the Central Park Five, which even when they were exonerated, Trump still said he didn't believe they were innocent. He wanted them hung, if people remember. He had his realtors put a big letter C on anybody's applications for any of his buildings to stand for colored, so he wouldn't rent or sell to any of them. He's been a racist his entire life, and now he wants to accuse Joe Biden of being a racist because Biden tried a joke and it fell flat. You know, I understand these old men and their type of what they think is humorous and the way they talk because I grew up with them and I know their mental habits, just like I know what they mean when they use certain words. So I watched that interview with Biden and that other guy who I never heard of, by the way, God something or other.
Oh, Charlemagne the God.
Right.
And
when he made that remark, I could see that he meant it as a joke, but I knew he would get demonized for it. Here we have an out-and-out racist, his father was arrested at KKK rallies, who won't rent even to blind people. He wouldn't put Braille in his elevators because he wouldn't allow blind people into his buildings because he's so perfect. Still ragging on every black woman that he can. He ragged on Stacey Abrams, called her basically fat this week because I guess he doesn't have a mirror. Ripping on black female reporters, Asian female reporters. How much more do people need to see to know that this guy wolf whistles and the psychos and the cops, don't you remember his speech to the cops where he said, just don't be so nice when you arrest them. You know, maybe you shouldn't cover their head when you put them in the car. You know, encouraging cops to be more violent than they already are. So, you know, if he gets out there and he's got his wolf whistles, just like the MAGA bomber who had basically Trump's wish list of people he hated that he was sending bombs to, what are they waiting for to force him out of office and arrest his ass? I just don't understand.
No, I'm with you there. About the Biden thing, look, if you don't know, Trump is a racist, welcome to planet Earth. But fact is, with the Biden thing, I don't see it as a joke. You know what I think that was? Is his old man attempt to sound like he fit in.
See, right, like he was hep. He tried to act like he was hep. I got that,
yeah,
too.
Exactly. And Charlemagne the God, the reason for this, Charlemagne the God and that Breakfast Club show he does is extremely important in African-American pop culture, to be honest with you. So he was definitely speaking to, he knew, a primarily African-American audience. That's just the demographics of that show. That's what it is. And he was just trying his best to say, I'm one of you.
Right, he was trying to be cool. He was trying to be cool and fell flat on his face. But first of all, why do people demand so much more from Democrats than they do from Republicans? There's a question to be asked. Here we got a rapist pedophile in the White House. And, Joe, he's creepy Joe. You know, Trump's got how many lawsuits against him for rape and everything else?
No, you got it. But here's the thing, is that here's a difference between the two sides of the aisle. Democrats are really anxious to sign up for a circular firing squad. I mean, look at what they did to Al Franken.
Right.
Look, Al Franken, it might have been inappropriate or whatever, but he's a comedian.
Right.
Also. And you know what? Not everything in comedy was politically correct always. Just a reminder, in case people have not caught up to this. Al Franken might have been inappropriate or whatever, and this and that, but look at the way that they got rid of him quick.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I'm not saying even that they shouldn't have looked into the situation.
He didn't even get an investigation. He never should have stepped out.
And here's a reasonable way to look at this, which, by the way, I don't know how you're going to feel when I say this, Maria, but look, this is my honest feeling on the whole thing. the concept of believe women, no good. I'll tell you what the concept should be. Take all accusations seriously until the evidence points away from them.
Well, Bernie Sanders, basically, you just repeated Bernie Sanders. He says the same thing.
Well, but hey, look, I'm not against Bernie Sanders' philosophies on a lot of things. And I'll tell you, if that's where he's at on this, he's dead on point as far as I'm concerned. Women are to be taken seriously. They are not impervious to making things up, exaggerations. They are not impervious to anything.
Except I will disagree on one thing. I believe children. And when a child is bullied in school, because I've been covering bullyocracy with Donald Jeffries, his book is sickening. I want to throw up. I told my granddaughter, this is the hardest book of his that I have to read because I can't read more than a few pages at a time without getting infuriated. Children generally will not make up lies. They will not make up stories of being raped or abused or bullied. The problem is nobody believes the kid. And the law doesn't defend them. And I'm sure you're right. Reading Bullyocracy, so you know what I'm talking about.
No, you're absolutely right. And I say that, yes, you're correct there. However, when you're talking about adults, there are a lot of motivations that can come in here. There are a lot of misinterpretations. I mean,
on both sides, men and women.
Yeah, on both sides, exactly. A lot of things that are not taken seriously that should have been, and a lot of things that, you know, you remember the whole thing where Rolling Stone basically lost its, lost its bona fides with people as journalists for a reason. You know, that happens, and I'm not saying that that even happens most of the time or the majority of the time, but you must allow that people make false accusations against one another. I don't care what their gender is. It happens.
Right.
Okay? So you need to take all of it seriously, and more seriously than it has been taken in the past, absolutely. Mm-hmm. But this idea that jumping to a conclusion, here's the funny thing about that alleged liberal, in air quotes, right, point of view on this, is that you can't simply default to the victim's story automatically and take actions all the time. Now, you need to take protective actions. You need to make sure that you put things at a stop immediately, whatever they might be. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, we need a bit of discernment on this. And these liberals, they will absolutely throw anybody under the bus quickly, you know, for this cause. But the funny thing about them is they're not quite as fast to take serious action against a guy like Trump or half of these other Republican politicians we've talked about before. They give a little bit of lip service, like most things, like right. With the opiate crisis, like with the real tragedy of our healthcare system. A lot of lip service, very little action.
Right, right. Well,
in that
you know,
way,
you.
They enable their alleged opponents by doing this.
Well, you know, it fits in perfect with what you just said. Last night, it was the first time shown. I believe I watched it on Hulu, a.k.a. Jane Doe. About Jane Roe, I meant to say, of the Roe versus Wade. And
right.
It was very interesting. Everyone should... What?
Well, real quick side note on that. People might not know this, but you know the Wade in Roe versus Wade? You know who that is? That's Henry Wade, who was the district attorney of Dallas County in 1963 when Kennedy was assassinated. Interesting guy. Over 20 of his death penalty cases overturned by the Innocence Project because he railroaded people. Corrupt, horrific individual who was going to prosecute Lee Harvey Oswald but never got the chance, was promising to bring the death penalty on him. Just a side note there, that is the Wade, and Jane Roe is, well, it's a nom de plume. It's a,
name. Right, actually. That was a made-up name. I don't remember her real name was McCorley or something like that. But I watched it. It was just a little over an hour, probably about an hour and 10 minutes, where, you know, she's a rising star on the pro-choice movement. And then suddenly, you know, the evangelicals come along and make her feel welcome like religion and mind control does. And she does a deathbed confession in it where she said that she was paid off by the evangelicals, and then they show some of her paychecks. And let me tell you something, they got a lot of money because you think about at the time that was happening, and I saw one paycheck, $456,000. Now, today, it's not 1970. If somebody said to me, Maria, for $456,000, would you say this? I would think about it, Chuck. Okay? So think about half a million dollars back then. Okay? But when you see how demonized, there's no other way to describe the evangelicals except demon-possessed. Okay? And I've seen a lot of religions in my day that I would classify the same. Because I've seen it, I've witnessed it as a child. You know, people talking in tongues, rolling on the floor. I mean, I've seen crazy shit. And I'm glad they finally put this movie out and that, you know, she did confess that she lied because she got paid for it. And, you know, the fact that she had to give up a loving lesbian relationship she was in for I don't know how many decades so she could be baptized, born again, forgiven by Jesus, whatever their bullshit is. It was well watching it because you say, you know, believe women. Well, a lot of women did believe her when she said, now I'm anti-abortion. Okay. And then the bottom line is she finally fesses up. You know, everybody wants to come clean right before they die. And said that she was paid off. And then you see only one of the evangelical preachers who's actually sorrowful for what he did. While the other ones are still, you know, Bible thumping and screaming like lunatics. So, you know, I would suggest everybody watch it. Okay, she's going to learn something. You already taught me something about the Wade part. But let's not talk about everybody in power in Dallas, Texas in 1963, because they were all criminals.
Right.
And, you know, I mean, what we saw with our own eyes on TV was just too much to take. So much staged mind control crap that came out of the Kennedy assassination. I don't even want to go there because I'll get upset over that. All right, let's go to something simple. Okay. Vote by mail.
Really quickly, before you go there, I just want to say one thing.
Sure.
That is a documentary that I'm dying to see. and it is important to finally get that deathbed confession. That's one positive thing about her religious awakening, is that she might fear hell
right.
for the damage she caused. Now some of us can be ethical without fear of reprisal from the invisible man. But other people, they, you know what? They need the devil. Just saying.
They
and,
are the devil.
I don't deny them that. So there you go. I'm looking forward to watching that, though. I do want to see it. I want to hear it finally and take a look at the stuff that I've suspected for a long time about that circumstance, because wasn't it really the key thing that drove, you know, the movement to pro-choice? Yes. But also the pro-life movement,
right.
when they adopted her, it was quite a daunting.
But here's the other thing, okay? We'll put off the other topic because this is a good one. You have crazy people, especially men, out in the streets with weapons of mass destruction, screaming like lunatics, my body, my choice, over wearing a face mask.
Right.
What would these men do if they had a uterus and no choice?
Well, isn't that a fascinating question?
Right.
You know, I love how these people that scream about their own freedoms, especially, and you're right, you know what, it is, you got to own it here, got to own it on behalf of my gender. It is primarily men who do this in the most ignorant and savage way possible. It's funny to me. They forget the rest of that. And that is that your freedoms truly end exactly where they begin to infringe upon the freedom of others.
Right.
That is part of the concept that, I don't know, I guess they were absent from school that day because they don't get that part.
Well, and you got
and
the
that's
same.
That's something to keep in mind.
Right, but you got the same pro-life people, okay, who were A-okay with let grandma and grandpa die in the nursing homes from COVID-19. I got to get my hair cut.
Oh, yeah.
So the hypocrisy, let me tell you something. I talk to the coronavirus every night, okay? I send it positive energy to transform into something beautiful. And I always add, thank you for the awakening that people are having on every level because of this virus. The hypocrisy of every department in our government, the hypocrisy of the Christians, the pro-lifers, on and on and on. The joke of minimum wage, the joke of not people not having health care. This thing has, if you look at it, and I'm not discounting the people that die from it or get sick from it at all, but if you look at it, people can look at this as one of the biggest blessings to awaken human beings around this planet more than if a nuclear bomb went off.
Well, it could be interpreted that way. I'm hoping that that is the ultimate result. But But you know what the problem is when sometimes you half wake up people, you know, and people are not quite all the way awake. They haven't had their cup of coffee yet. Their eyes are not entirely open just yet. A lot of them fall back to sleep. And I worry that they kind of got woken out of their dream state just for a minute and observed something going on around them. And a lot of them are going to choose to go back
to
sleep.
Well, but maybe if they don't get it, we will have a resurgence. Maybe it'll come back again and again. Maybe it's the hand of God, okay? I wonder why the evangelicals aren't blaming this on their God, okay?
That's an interesting thing there, isn't it?
Right.
And why it is that the concept that you and I have discussed before, that this is a possible reaction by the living and conscious planet to begin... Just right. To begin to give a little tiny
a nudge.
Push.
Right, saying, hey, you fleas are getting ready to get shook off my back. You better wake up.
Chuck. Could be the warning shot from Mother Earth.
I think so, too. Well, we've disrespected her for so many years. Nothing would surprise me. Chuck, I want to thank you for a very interesting hour. We went places I didn't expect to go today, but I think they were important topics to discuss because we all have to realize that we're all in this together, and it truly is us against the rich, and we go right back to survival of the richest.
Exactly, which is what I did the last time I talked to Donald Jeffries. We talked about bullyocracy, and I'm going to have him back on to do that. Of course, that's a great show, and I want to thank you for including me in this and allowing the spirit, so to speak, the spirit or a spirit anyway, to guide us and do what it is we needed to do. I think this was necessary today. Thank you.
Always my pleasure, Chuck. You take care. We'll talk soon. Chuck Ocelli. Check out his work at ocelli.com. There's a live link here. You don't have to agree with everything we say, but hopefully we give you some things to really think about. Because without thinking, we're nothing. And that's the way it goes. So thanks for supporting the show. See you guys next time.
Thank you for listening and supporting The Maria Show. Tell others what you learned today. Knowledge becomes wisdom only when it's shared. Encourage others to subscribe today. www.maria.net. Often imitated, never duplicated. A world of information all in one place. www.maria.net. Always ahead of the curve. Always on your side. Get active or get radioactive. Subscribe today.